Certainly Yahweh gives us insight in his word. And we have some translations that give some words in there that really shouldn't be there. And, yesterday was Sunday. And we hear of sunrise services. We see those out in front of their congregations picking up Easter eggs. And I saw even the minister was out there. Looked like minister, but he was out there enjoying himself as he went about looking for the eggs with the others. Well, Yahweh has a certain way of doing things, and we have to be very careful that we're found in his will and that we're doing what he tells us to do. If you would, let's go back to Exodus 36. We find little bits of information that we don't necessarily think about. But they're there for a reason. And Yahweh wanted the tabernacle set up in a particular way for the children of Israel. Of course, they had just come out of Egypt. They were surrounded by those that worshipped falsely. They had deities. They had sun worship, in fact, speaking of sunrise service. Exodus 36 and verse 27. Speaking of how the tabernacle should be set up, it says, "For the rear of the tabernacle is to be to the west." And he made six boards. So that means that the front of it would be towards the east. Is that right? So those coming into the tabernacle towards Yahweh, towards proper worship, were turning their back on sun worship. I think that's the message that we get, is why the tabernacle is set up this way. It's a lesson to us that we need to turn away from Easter. We need to turn away from false worship. And if you'd like to entitle this, you can entitle it, "Turn Away from Easter." Ezekiel 8. Yahweh wanted the people to turn away from false worship, but the people were rebellious. They were defiant in their way of doing things. And they wanted to do as the other nations, regrettably, to their demise. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 3, we find a vision is mentioned here in verse 3. "He stretched out the form of the hand and caught me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in the vision of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the idol of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy, was located." Now, if we have someone that we love and they are not doing, they're not having their attention towards us, are we not going to be a little jealous? If someone turns away from Yahweh, it can cause him to be jealous. But going down in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, "And he said to me," well, actually backing up to verse 12, it says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark? Each man in the room of his carved images, for they say, Yahweh does not see us. Yahweh has forsaken the land.' And he said to me, 'Yet you will see still greater abominations which they are committing.'" They were actually doing these things. It was a vision, but it was a vision of truth. And it says in verse 14, "Then he brought me to the entrance of the gate of Yahweh's house, which was towards the north. And behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz." Who's Tammuz? False deity. "He said to me, 'Do you see this, son of man? Yet you will see still greater abominations than these.'" Then he brought me into the inner court of Yahweh's house, and behold, at the entrance of the temple of Yahweh, between the porch and the altar, there were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of Yahweh. Just what Yahweh doesn't want. Doesn't want our backs to him. He wants our attention. He wants our worship. It says their backs were to the temple of Yahweh, and their faces towards the east. And they were prostrating themselves eastward toward the sun. Why? Sun worship. Worship of the nations. And we can look in a number of commentaries, dictionaries. I don't want to do that today, but if you look the origins of Easter, you can find Ishtar, Astarte, the names of the Queen of Heaven is actually where it goes back. I didn't want to spend a lot of time with that, though we can look at some of the things that Yahweh says about false worship, and specifically not to bow down to things like the sun. Let's go over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 19. Says, beware, take this warning, in other words, beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which Yahweh your Elohim has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. I mean, they're there for a reason, but they're not there to worship. Jeremiah chapter 7. Some may say, well, if they're observing Easter, well, we're not worshiping the sun. We're not doing these things. Well, Yahweh has a certain way of worship that he wants. And over thousands of years, there's a lot that has happened. And we have, I think, the majority of people have turned away from Yahweh. And their back is towards him. And in many cases, you know, whether it's sunrise service or whatever, their face is towards the east in false worship. Jeremiah 7 and verse 17. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Even today. Isn't there false worship found there? It says, the children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. False deity, false worship, an abomination to Yahweh. And they pour out drink offerings to other deities in order to spite me. Do they spite me? Declares Yahweh. Is it not themselves that they spite to their own shame? Therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, and on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. You can almost read a warning there for us today. If he did it to them back then, what's he going to do to us if we are in false worship today? Jeremiah 44 also talks about the Queen of Heaven, where they burned incense to her. Jeremiah 44, and starting there in verse 16. As for the message that you have spoken to us in the name of Yahweh, of course they're speaking of Jeremiah, we are not going to listen to you. Is our message sometimes ignored, rejected? Now, we told sometimes, I'm not going to listen to you. Who are you to tell us what to do? Hey, these aren't my words. These are Yahweh's words. And we have to be careful to do them. Continuing on. But rather, we will certainly carry out every word that has proceeded from our mouths by burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven or whatever other deity we would have. Might as well throw that in there. because that's what they're doing. And deities are wide-ranging, from people's homes to their cars to their jobs. Anything that takes them away from Yahweh, that makes them turn their back on Him, it's false worship. Yahweh has certain instructions for us. He tells us to come. You know, the blowing of the trumpet. We're to remember that. We're to remember to come to trumpets. That's it's showing something that's yet to happen. We need to be reminded that Yahshua is going to return. We need to be reminded of these things. But the people were stubborn. He says, but rather we will certainly carry out every word that has proceeded from our mouths. What does Scripture say? It says we're to obey every word that proceeds from Yahweh's mouth. They've totally turned their back on Him. It says, by burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out offerings to her, just as we ourselves, our forefathers, our kings and our princes did in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then we had plenty of food and we were well off and saw no misfortune. It's all about us. It's about what satisfies us, the lusts of the flesh. But since we stopped burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven, pouring out drink offerings to her, you know, it makes me wonder, was Satan active back here as he was, as he is today? If somebody comes into the faith, is Satan going to ignore them? If Yahweh allows it, Satan is going to attack them. To a certain extent, it won't be to the point where they can't handle it, because Yahweh promises that. But Satan wants to stop people from worshiping Yahweh. And he will produce false forms of worship. Sun worship. Idol worship. You name it. Anything that takes us away from Yahweh. It says here that, but since we stopped burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven, pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have met our end by the sword and by famine. And, you know, we have to be willing to walk away from a lot of the things in this world and to come before Yahweh. We have to give up those ways of the world and those things that might bring us creature comforts, so to speak. But it says in verse 19, and said to the woman, when we were burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven, were pouring out drink offerings to her, was it without our husbands that we made for her sacrificial cakes and her image and poured out drink offerings to her? And then Jeremiah said to all the people, to the men and the women, even to all the people who were given him such an answer, saying, as for the smoking sacrifices that you burn in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your forefathers, your kings and your princes and your people of the land, did not Yahweh remember them, and did not all this come into his mind? So Yahweh was no longer able to endure because of the evil of your deeds, because of the abominations which you have committed. Thus your land has become a ruin, an object of horror, and a curse without an inhabitant, as it is to this day. Because you have burned sacrifices and have sinned against Yahweh and not obeyed the voice of Yahweh, or walked in His law, His statutes, or His testimonies, therefore this calamity has befallen you, as it has this day. He's referring to Judah. Well, Israel went, the other tribes of Israel went into captivity too, and they were dispersed through Assyria. But the warnings we find here for us today, we don't want to go into false worship. We don't want to have these type of things that turn our back to Yahweh. Let's go over to Leviticus 23. And thinking about some of the things of Easter that we see today, a lot of the people take these things up and bring them into their congregations, and in a sense, they become part of the worship. I was wondering about the basket. Of course, there's the Easter basket. And there's stuffing in there. Of course, they put eggs and these colored eggs in there. I'm just wondering if a basket was ever used to in real worship, in true worship. In Leviticus 23, in verse 11, it talks about the priest shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh for you to be accepted on the day after the weekly Sabbath, we find here. And the priest shall wave it. Well, that day is Sunday. And here people are worshiping Easter on Sunday. But go over to Deuteronomy chapter 26. And I just found this today. I had the thought, so I looked, and sure enough, baskets were involved in true worship. Deuteronomy 26, and starting there in verse 1. Then it shall be, this is speaking of first fruits, then it shall be when you enter the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground which you shall bring in from your land, that Yahweh your Elohim gives you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place where Yahweh your Elohim chooses to establish his name. Of course, we're in a sojourning feast right now. But it says, you shall go to the priest who is in the office at the time, and say to him, I declare this day to Yahweh my Elohim, that I have entered the land which Yahweh swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of Yahweh your Elohim. Now, what would have happened if somebody brought, back at that time, some colored, fancy eggs, which was known as to be a part of the fertility rites. We can get a little bit further into that, but what would the priests have said? Oh, you've done well. What would Yahweh say if we were to bring him an offering like that? And yet people today are bringing in colored eggs into their houses of worship, and they believe that they're doing right, and they're not. They're doing what is wrong. What would you tell him if he asked you where they came from? What, you mean I wasn't supposed to bring these? I heard a minister giving a Sunday service, type worship service. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter what denomination you go to. It's kind of like a free-for-all. If you feel happy over here, or if you feel happy over here, it doesn't matter. You know, we're all serving the same Heavenly Father, aren't we? But how do you serve Him? And what's going on over here? What's going on over there? Yahweh's word is very clear. He has a specific way to worship Him. And he wants his people to not turn their backs on him in that way of worship. So we have to be careful. Because we're talking life and death. We're talking blessings and cursings. We're talking about either being called great in the kingdom of heaven or being called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Yahshua knew. Yahshua knows. Jeremiah 10. Hope I'm not bumming anyone out. David, you've really been getting on this kick about worshiping Yahweh the right way. Can you knock it off? No, I can't. Because he's put it heavy on my heart to make sure that we look into it and that we worship him the way he wants to. Because some bad things are coming for those that don't. Jeremiah 10. And he wants people to turn to him. Hear the word which Yahweh speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says Yahweh, do not learn the way of the nations of the heathen, King James says. Do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the people are delusional, because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of the craftsmen with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers so that it will not totter. Does that remind you of anything? We're not in that particular season yet, but it's coming in December for many people. They will cut down a tree, they will fasten it, they will ordain it with gold and silver, just as it is told here. And if you look in the dictionaries, the encyclopedias, I mean, you'll find that a lot of these things that are brought in to worship the Father are from paganism. Deuteronomy 12. What does Yahweh say? Is he for it? He says, you can just worship me any way, any old way you want. That's not what Yahweh's word says. That's not truth. It's a lie that I think Satan would love to pawn off and has pawned off in part to many people. And many people are in deception today, having turned their back on Yahweh. And they don't even see it. They're blind. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. When Yahweh your Elohim cuts off before you the nations which you are going to in to do, dispossess, and you dispossess them and dwell in their land, beware that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their deities, saying, how do these nations serve their mighty ones, that I may also do likewise? You shall not behave thus towards Yahweh your Elohim, for every abominable act which Yahweh hates they have done for their deities, for they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their deities. Well, we don't do that today, do we? But does Yahweh want to be reminded of those things? The false worship that took place among the nations, that is still taking place among the nations? Yahweh is very clear on how he wants to be worshipped. And he makes it clear that he does not want to be worshipped the way the others worship their deities. He lays it out from Genesis to Revelation, and he reveals to us the truth of his word. And we have historians that can take us back and the etymology of some of these names, even Esther, which means star. Made me wonder. I didn't have really time to look into it, but I wonder if Easter maybe means like bright star or something in the Phoenician. I don't know. But it's connected to false worship, false deities. And Esther was actually called Hadassah, the correct name. I read an article one time it was Biblical Archaeological magazine. And the article said, a lot of Bible scholars like detective stories. A lot of the archaeologists like detective stories, because you have to kind of dig and piece things together and find out what's really going on. And that's what we're doing here. We're being like detectives. We're reading through the entire word, but we're also being able to put together the pieces of the puzzle to give us a clear picture. And there have been some things that have come up that we need to be aware of, that we need to search out. Go to Jeremiah, if you would, to chapter 8 and verse 7. We have to search out to know Yahweh's word. We can't just take what I say or what someone else says. And, you know, if I point you in the wrong direction, I may be pointing you away from Yahweh. You're going to have to go before Yahweh yourself and be judged according to what you've done and how you've worshipped. We need to be sure that we're all doing what we can to be the detectives that we need to be to know what Yahweh's word says. It says in verse 7, starting here in Jeremiah chapter 8, it says, even the stork in the sky knows her seasons, and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the ordinance of Yahweh. How can you say, we are wise, and the law of Yahweh is with us? Well, actually, today they're saying just the opposite. Yahweh's law, that was, the Jews do that, or that's Old Testament, or that's behind us. But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. Teachers, false prophets, others that would point you in a direction that takes you actually away from Yahweh. Says the wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of Yahweh. And what kind of wisdom do they have? Let's go over to Acts 12. If you have a King James Version, you're going to find something there that shouldn't be there. Acts 12 and verse 4. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to the four squads of the soldiers to guard him, intending does King James say? Easter? To bring him out before his people. That word is Passover. Should be Passover. All the other translations got it right. The King James, though, One of the scribes put in there as Easter. Shouldn't be there. You know, we're not to lie to one another. We're given directives to not do that. An Easter egg hunt. Do bunnies lay eggs? Do we teach our children that's how it works? It's a lie. And Yahweh tells us what to tell our children, tells us to tell our children the truth, to tell our children's children the truth. We are to observe Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the other days that Yahweh has for us. But in Luke 22, but that's Old Testament. That was back... You know, we don't do that anymore. Really. Oh, come on, David. Can't you lighten up? I'm just telling you what Yahweh's word is showing here and saying. Luke 22. Now there are those who will throw the book of Luke out. Well, it's to their destruction if they do that. But we're told in Luke 22 and verse 16, for I say to you, Yahshua's words here, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of Elohim. Eat what? Passover. And of course, there was he implemented tokens that were to take each year. Once a year. Passover is 14th of Abib. It's once a year. But we take of the emblems of his body, the symbolic of him, and unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, which we find is grape juice. Nowhere in the Bible does it say wine is the Passover, is to be in the Passover cup. Going on here in verse 18, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of heaven comes, or the kingdom of Yahweh, rather. Again, saying it twice, you know, this is going to take place basically in the kingdom. This is the first, the beginning of the appointed times that Yahweh has for His people. We read that the Feast of Tabernacles will also be kept in the kingdom. And you have all the other things in between. You can't ignore them. Well, I suppose you could, but really Yahweh wants us to face Him in true worship and to listen to Him and to do what He says, not just hear it. Will the Scripture say faith without works is ultimately dead? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11 and verse 26. Now, the way others have implemented Easter into their worship, they're claiming it's to observe the resurrection. We go to sunrise services. Just that in itself is, doesn't that say something? But I mean, they're talking about the sun rising, not Yahshua. But they point to Yahshua, even using these other means of worship, and they say, well, Yahshua was resurrected. We know that. I mean, we know that here. So we're going to observe that. We're going to do it our way, is basically what they've said. Remember what Jeremiah said? The people speaking to him? We're going to obey the word of our mouth instead of Yahweh's mouth. Wrong. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, what did I say, 6? Yeah. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Master's death until He comes. Is this important? It's important. It's part of Passover. And what does it say here? Proclaiming His resurrection? Well, it says you're proclaiming His death. Passover is a memorial. And what, going back just to verse 24 there, the same book and chapter, says, and when He had given thanks, He broke the bread and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So there's some things that we are to remember. We are not to neglect Yahweh's word. Speaking of Jeremiah, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. And there's so much in Yahweh's word that goes against Easter keeping that it's not just that a lot of the historical references point to Easter being originally pagan. It's wrong worship. Not supposed to do it. And there are those that will say, well, you know, you can't really prove that Easter is from paganism. Well, I guess we can ignore all the historians, but we can look just at Yahweh's word and see what it says. And it says that He is to be worshipped in a certain way. There are certain words that are used here. As we've already seen, Easter is not one of them. It was a substitute, just like the Lord and the title or name God is a substitute. Satan is having a heyday. He really is. Because he's got a lot of people in deception. And doesn't Revelation say he deceives the whole world? And we were once deceived. And I pray that we're not deceived now. We're rather turning towards him in true worship. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus says Yahweh, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. Doesn't that ring true with what Yahshua said? You know, my burden is light. You know, he came in service to Yahweh. We are to walk in his steps because it's life. The words of Yahweh are life. And I set watch. Oh, well, let's back up here. It's the good way. You shall walk in it. You shall find rest for yourselves. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Remember. And they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their plans, because they have not listened to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it also. Defiance, rebellion, selfishness, the I'll rule myself and do what I want to do attitude. That's the wide road that leads to destruction. I was looking at our fundamentals of faith, and we're in the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it talks about, going halfway down here, it says, the seventh, or last day, is a Sabbath, Abib 21st, which we are in today. And pictures the complete coming out of the worldly way of sin and rebellion to follow the righteousness of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, Exodus 12, 15, and 20, Numbers 28, verse 17 through 25, Acts 20, 6 through 7. And we gladly rid our houses of all the leavened products for 7 days to remind us of the cleansing of ourselves of false doctrine, which could lead to sin, and many times does. But it says here, for by physical acts, we learn a spiritual lesson. Are we still physical? Do we still do physical things? And we learn spiritual lessons. Unleavened bread is eaten for these 7 days, allowing us to symbolically take in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8. What happens when we turn away from Easter? I think the answer is we actually turn towards Yahweh in true worship. And that's what we must do. May Yahweh bless His word as it goes forth unto all the nations. May Yahweh bless. Hallelujah.